Most Boston commuters hear the train as nothing more than background noise. But for Bob Nissen, that bell is the sound of dreams. For more than 20 years, Bob and his neighbors in Somerville, just across the Charles River from Boston, have been waiting on an unfulfilled promise to bring a light rail to the heart of their city, one of the most densely populated in the nation.
I am a bicycle rider, so I breathe this stuff very intensely on my daily commutes. And I am all too aware of the problems associated with traffic jams, particularly in places like Union Square.
Nissen is a documentary filmmaker. Over the years, he has worked on hundreds of films, programs, and commissioned videos. Most recently, he has volunteered his professional skills for a cause he cares about. He is documenting the cumbersome commute for Somerville residents and the failure of Boston Mass Transit.
I'm standing here, and it's about maybe 20 degrees at best, and I'm waiting for a bus. It makes no sense to stand here with my feet frozen to wait for the bus when I could easily get in my car.
Bob's frustration is shared by many of his friends and neighbors. In 2003, some of them formed a grassroots group to try and get the state to extend the Green Line train to Somerville. The group is called Somerville Transportation Equity Partnership, or STEP. Bob began helping STEP in 2004.
The local newspapers gave a relatively shallow series of journalistic reports about the Green Line, and it wasn't really until STEP got on board, got all over this issue, that things started to happen.
Bureaucrats on Beacon Hill ignored Somerville, long slighted as Slummerville, until STEP stepped up.
In 2004, during a Red Sox baseball championship playoffs, 500 people turned out in Somerville High School the night of a World Series game to lobby for the Green Line extension.
And this is serious justice denied.
How did this band of ordinary citizens try to sway big government to fund a massive transportation project? Two words, new media.
It's impossible for STEP to provide the quality of outreach and the effectiveness of their outreach without television, web domain tools, and other tools of the digital age. What I did, for example, I went back to the 1950s. I found footage of the destruction of some neighborhoods.
In 2005, Bob produced a 15-minute documentary called Off Track. It highlights and humanizes Somerville's transportation problem.
Yesterday, I missed the CT2 bus, so I ended up taking the 91 bus all the way to Central, then getting the 47 bus, and it's taken to me to the Longwood Medical Center.
I think it gives people a point of view that is not from a politician or some, you know, community leader who, you know, has a much greater ability to get an audience. So people can hear from, you know, their neighbors and, you know, from kids and from other people about how those issues affect them.
In addition to airing on the local cable access station, the film streams on the group's website.
The MBTA guarantees that if your service is delayed more than 30 minutes, your ride is free.
The availability of new media to reach out to people with very timely information promotes democracy by getting people involved, by informing people about what's going on and motivating them to take action.
The city of Somerville has some unique characteristics which have given it a huge advantage in adapting to the new media. These are advantages that may not apply everywhere. For example, 4 out of 10 people who live in Somerville have at least a bachelor's degree, and there's a high degree of correlation between education and the use of broadband internet. Secondly, the city of Somerville was the first city in the nation to use the internet to contact its citizens for emergencies or a routine business even. Some doubt whether citizen journalists are actually improving democracy. Emily Rooney is a media critic at Boston's public TV station, WGBH.
They're another set of eyes and ears, and I think everybody appreciates that. Now, do we know what they're seeing? Do we know what they're hearing? No, we don't. And that's always a problem. I mean, you can't take everything on face value.
Plus, she argues, Nesson's work is limited to one cause in one community.
He's an advocate as opposed to a journalist. He wants a green line. Now, whether that's a big news story, it's big news to him, but I'm not sure it is to everybody else.
Call it news, call it journalism, call it whatever you want. I like to call it what makes a community work better for most people.
Somerville's mayor, Joe Curtatone, agrees.
The impact, in my view, has been very positive on some of the issues we've been advocating for in Somerville. I think giving, there's such a large movement for web-based information and activity, that streaming video just increases the amount of voices and I'd say commentary that you get. It's another avenue, another medium.
In 2007, 10,000 different visitors checked out STEP's website for a total of 14,000 hits. That same year, online visitors checked out Bob's movie, Off Track, 250 times.
To the extent that even these individuals, and or even one individual who is streaming and who is providing information around a point of interest for a community, definitely is going to bring some attention to it and make people become more engaged. But to the extent that people can pinpoint those issues and link them to their communities and make it relative to their lives, then this is actually democracy at work.
Still, some are concerned the unequal access to new media tools has the potential to undermine democracy. Mark Lloyd is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. For years, he has been looking at how communications technology impacts democracy and civil rights.
It's not the media itself. It's who controls the media, how it's controlled, what are the rules that guide it, whether or not we all have equal access to be able to contest ideas.
He says it can be difficult to compete in the rich and complex environment that new media has become.
So simply having a web blog or having a website or a video on the web really doesn't allow you to communicate very effectively to the large mass of audiences and compete for eyeballs the way that General Electric would be able to or some of the other corporations would be able to.
I don't think we should be having a conversation about whether the Green Line should be coming to Somerville, but perhaps we should be having a discussion of when it should be coming.
And for all their sound and fury, the community still doesn't have a train.
I've been very frustrated that despite all of the effort that the membership of STEP and others has exerted toward getting the Green Line extension, it hasn't happened, and we are still waiting.
Did your students help you with this?
Yeah, the students helped me.
Still, Bob is pleased with how far the group has come using new media. But will it actually lead to a shiny new train? And will new media live up to its promise to improve democratic participation? Or will the tools of the digital age simply take us down the same old track?